We turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, reading verses 11 to 15, which can be found on page 453 of the majority of the Pew Bibles. King David pleads with God to learn his ways so that when he is confronted by enemies, he can face them with love rather than as the world would. Psalm 86, reading from verse 11. Hear the word of God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, so that I may honor you. With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. O God, insolent people rise up against me. A violent gang is trying to kill me. You mean nothing to them. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 878. The Apostle Paul helps us to understand what came down at Christmas. And if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard this verse before. 1 Corinthians, reading from verse 1, 13. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Well, only 16 shopping days left till Christmas Day. Only 16 days left to buy that perfect present for someone special in your life. How you choose a gift for someone says a lot about how you feel about them. If you make a quick decision, it's often because you're buying that person a gift because you have to, out of an obligation, perhaps because they are a relation, perhaps even your brother or sister, an aunt or an uncle, someone you hardly ever see throughout the year. Yet at Christmas time, when the family gathers, it would be wrong not to have something for them. And at the other end of the scale, you have the most important people in your life, the ones you love the most, and you spend hours searching online or walking through shopping centres, hoping to find that perfect present. The more time you spend choosing the right gift normally reflects the more how much it means to you that they like the gift you are giving to them. That's because the gifts that we give are usually an expression of our love. They are an attempt to show someone that we care about them, and we want to give a physical expression to that fact in something that we hope they will love and treasure just as we love and treasure them. So at best, our gift giving is a display of our love. Of course, there is a darker side. For some of us, it feeds from or feeds out of the materialism of our culture. As a young lad, of all the presents I received at Christmas, with the obvious exception of the biggie from Santa, the one I looked forward to most was from my Uncle Jim, who lived in California. Inside his brightly wrapped gift, I knew I would find a toy, not socks and other items of clothing that other aunts and uncles thought was a good idea. A boy's toy. And within the packaging, every available square inch was crammed with candy canes and other sweeties. Now, the motivation for my Uncle Jim was to bring me joy. There was nothing sinister in it. But there are some who give extravagant gifts to try and win favour or out of some sense of guilt for neglecting someone in some way. And sometimes we give gifts and we rack up dreadful debts in order to do so. For others, the giving of gifts provokes a feeling of loss and sadness as we remember those who are not with us to share in the moment. Gifts can be, therefore, bittersweet for many of us. There's also a lot of love, but there are also some challenges, and there's also sometimes no small degrees of sadness and sorrow and loss mixed in with all this Christmas gift business. I want to turn your attention, if I may, to one place in Scripture where we find a perfect Christmas gift that communicates perfect love and is not mingled at all with sorrow or loss, but brings true joy and profound satisfaction to the hearts of all who receive it. You find that gift in perhaps the best known verse in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God's perfect gift is a gift of love. God loved the world so much that he gave. God's gift is to give us love, a generous love. It is a love of grace, free and unconstrained. The love of God is given without reference to our merits, our goodness, or our deserving. God doesn't make a list and check it twice to find out who's naughty or nice before he gives us his Christmas gift. His gift is free and unreserved, unsolicited and unlooked for love. The life of Jesus began with birth and ended in death. And this happens to all human beings and will happen to us. Our lives began with our birth and will end in our death. What makes the birth and death of Jesus different from anyone else's is that his life not only reveals the true nature of God, his love, his grace, and his forgiveness, but more than that, the gift of Jesus opened the doorway to eternal life for us all. Our opening Christmas carol put it like this: love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. There is a secular song which says it another way: love changes everything. Love changes everything. Hands and faces, earth and sky. Love changes everything. How you live and how you die. Love can make the summer fly, or a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love changes everything. Now I tremble at your name. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. I truly believe that nothing in this world will ever be the same, because God truly became one of us in the birth of Jesus in a lowly cattle shed. I believe that what so many strive for today in our society, the equal dignity of every human being, began in Jesus. I believe, as the scriptures say, that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. I believe that when this baby grew up and touched and healed the leper and ate with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, that God was touching, sitting and eating with people like you and I. More than this, I believe that when Jesus confronted the crowds and the religious authorities and said, "You must love your enemies, turn the other cheek, and have compassion on the needy, and do not serve yourself," it was God saying it to them and to us. We are all sinners, condemned by our lack of love. We all need forgiveness. In a profound way, on Christmas Day, compassion entered the world in a way that it had not been there before. I believe that when Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them," God was saying it for all of us whose sin brought the Son to the cradle and to the cross. Love changes everything. We think of the shepherds in the Nativity story as good figures, but there would have been some Jewish people who would have been shocked that they were the first witnesses. Shepherds had to work on the Sabbath. They had to work away and could not get to the synagogue, and they could not get to Jerusalem at the major festivals, as all good Jews were required to do. They were unclean, yet they witnessed God in a feed trough, the creator of the universe becoming part of creation. They witnessed the love of God in human form. Today, instead of despising them, we honour them as the first evangelists. Dirty, grubby shepherds witnessing the glory of God. A feed trough becomes a throne. A cross becomes a sign and instrument of our forgiveness. And a tomb becomes the place where we receive new life. Love changes everything. I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel like a fraud. I feel like the grubby shepherds, or like a rundown stable. I see all my faults and all my failures. I see the struggle I've had over the years with self-esteem. I see that my worldly standards have not been a great success. Who am I that God should trust me with the message of salvation? I'm sure there's some of you, even some of you who have been very successful in work or life, who sometimes feel the same. The message for you is that love changes everything. The stable is a palace. The feed trough is a throne. The dirty shepherds are the first evangelists. And you and I, everyone here this morning, are the bearers of the good news. We, all the members of this church, from the pew sitters to the leaders and elders, sinners though we are the children of God and the messengers of God. And every person who has faith in the baby in the manger, for every one of those people, love truly does change everything. As Advent heralds the birth of our Saviour and the gift God gave to the world 2,000 odd years ago, our celebration reminds us that it was not a one-off gift. It is a gift that keeps on giving. And in that realization, we, as children of God, as instruments of His word, as messengers of His peace, we have to bring His gift of love that came down at Christmas to the world today and every day. And as it says in 1 Corinthians, we have to be patient and kind. We must not be jealous or boastful or proud or rude. We cannot demand our own way or be irritable. And we must keep no record of being wronged. We must not rejoice at injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins out. And we must never give up, never lose faith, always be hopeful, and endure through every circumstance. And finally, this morning, to guide us at this Christmas time of year, I'd like to share with you a seasonal version of 1 Corinthians 13. If we decorate our homes perfectly with blade bows, strands of twinkling lights and shining balls, but do not show love to one another, we are just another decorator. If we slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to one another, we are just another cook. If we work at the soup kitchen, sing carols in the nursing home, and give all that we have to charity, but do not show love to one another, it profits us nothing. If we trim the spruce and with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the church carol party, but do not focus on Christ, we have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband or wife. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has been decorated with Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they're there in the way in the first place. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in to giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. So this Christmas, give love. And for you who are here this morning, give God's love. A love that lasts forever. For His name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Love came down at Christmas, we just sang. Love, all lovely, love divine. Lord, at this time of year, help us to have a good look at ourselves. Do we resemble love? When others look at us, not just the nearest and dearest around us, but other people. We see a world of pain and sorrow outside. We see greedy, spiteful, angry, hurtful people. Are we a part of that? Are we a part of the world? Or are we different? Just as Jesus was different, so he calls us to be like him. And our best way of being like Jesus is to love. Even though that can be hard to do, it's an example that God has called us to do. So this Christmas, Lord, look into our hearts and fill the areas that need to be filled with your Spirit so that we can be loving Christians in the image of Jesus. This we pray in his mighty name. Amen.